Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. Let me ask you a question. How many people out there, if they just knew about your business, if they just knew you existed and the fact that you do a good job, would probably use you? Probably more than you think. I was always told the idea, one of the marketing mantras I was always told was that information is marketing, marketing is information. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to think about just a moment? How many people would use you if they only knew you existed? There are a lot of ways to make that happen. You know, back in the older days, we would hang a shingle out, perhaps. You know, back in the days when you could just, and if you're a retail type establishment, that's that old location, 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 where people are going to drive by and see you. In today's world, perhaps one way to get noticed a little more is a web search. Do something to attract website people looking for you, perhaps by doing blogs that they're interested in. We're going to talk a little later today about using Twitter and LinkedIn and those kinds of things for that. But you know, also the old-fashioned way of running ads that may work for you if you run the very specific ads, targeted ads in a specific location, and trade shows and things of that sort, and not to mention just simple word of mouth. But today's program, we're going to talk about the idea of prospecting primarily. We're going to talk a little more about a few other things, some customer service issues as well, but mostly talk about prospecting. You know, there's a difference. We sort of define, in sales generally, you find these terms being used. You use the term suspect. Now, suspect is anybody that suspect they might use you. That's the way to look at that. A prospect is someone that not only do you suspect they might have used you, you've had some kind of interaction with them to sort of confirm that, like they've either talked to you by the website or you've had a phone conversation with them or they've called you or whatever, or they've emailed you back and forth or they've responded to a tweet you did or something, but you've had some kind of interaction with them no matter how mild that may be. That's what we basically call that a prospect. We turn prospects into leads by qualifying them. When we actually talk to them, find out, you know, they've, as the old saying used to be, they have the need for your product or service, and they've got the money to pay for it, and therefore, it's something that you can deal with. You know, one of the things that we define markets, we've talked about this many times, is the idea that you're either in an expanding market or a mature market, and that does vary depending on what kind of business you're in. An expanding market is a market that is growing all the time. More and more people are coming into the market. It's growing. You can actually, in a business like that, you can actually do pretty well sometimes just by hanging a shingle out. You're there. There's a high demand for your product or service, and people will find you. Most of us are probably not in that kind of business. At the other end of that spectrum is a mature market. That's a market that's either declining or has stopped growing, and the only way you get business in a mature market is to take it from a competitor. And probably all of us are somewhere in the middle of that. Some of you may be way over in the mature market area, in which case you've really got to be aggressive about what you offer and how you get business. One of the ways I always think about, you know, in that regard is sort of what I've always called a seesaw analogy. If you can sort of picture a seesaw. You know, if you get on one end of the seesaw goes down, right? I do this with my grandkids. It goes down. But if you've got somebody of, you know, roughly equal weight to you on the other side, then it sort of balances and you're there. Think of you and your competitor on either end of that seesaw, and think of the customer as standing and sort of straddling the middle of that seesaw. And what you've got to do, you don't have to get him to come in the beginning all the way over to your side of the seesaw. You just got to get him to take a step, just a small step your way, and it will tilt your way. Now, once you get him there, the trick is, of course, to keep the seesaw very firmly down by building brand identity, by doing a great job, so he's going to stay with you and all that. But, you know, that's in business, we call that the law of the slight edge. You don't have to, you can win by an inch and not by a mile. And you know, as we always say, and particularly in bid and spec type situations, second place is about the same as 50th place. There's only one first place. The first place guy gets all the money. Second place gets none. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well you do that. One of the places you might start looking at, if you're looking for prospects for your business, one of the things you might begin with is to look at your own customer base. You know, the person that's there's sort of a myth that entrepreneurs have, and that is that the bigger their market, in other words, the larger their market, the more likely they are to be successful. But research does not bear that out. In fact, the more you can target your market, the more you can shrink it down and spend time chasing a smaller batch of prospects, the more likely you are to be successful in that, and that you can then, of course, expand it from there. But you know, the reason for that is very simple. It takes if you were in to say, and very inexperienced business people will say this, well, you know, everybody's our prospect. Well, I can right off the bat, I can tell you that is absolutely not true. Everybody's not your prospect. What you've got to define is why your prospects are there. And one thing you can begin doing that is looking at your customer base. You can ask a very hard question. And this question takes a bit of introspection, perhaps. You can ask, you and your team get together and either ask customers directly or just figure this out yourself. Why do they buy from you? Just pick your best customers, your 10 best customers. Why do they use you? And think about it. Is it price? Are you the cheapest guy out there? Is that why they're using you? Is it because you are where you are, your location, you're the closest to them? Is that what it is? Is that the answer to it? Do you really, really offer good customer service and take really good care of them? I hope that's true. Is that why they do it? Why do they buy to you? You know, in our company, we've come up with a couple of scenarios for that, and I'll just share a couple of them with you. A lot of our competition are very, very, very large companies. In the electronic motor drive business, you know, we're sort of a small third party and a bit of an anomaly in that the majority of companies in the electronic motor drive business that we deal with and that we compete directly with are very, very large, in some cases large multinational corporations. We take advantage of the fact, and one of the reasons customers deal with us, and they tell us this, and we figured this out ourselves as well, we're a little quicker on the draw than they are. And we can turn on a dime when a guy asks us to do something. We don't have to go through a bunch of bureaucracy to get it done. We don't read them the rule book about how we can do it. And so a big reason people use us is because we're small and nimble. So we try to build on what we know about that. And when we're looking for prospects, we're looking for people to whom that is important. Now, you need to define that for yourself and find out to whom in your world is that, is whatever you do, the reason customers buy from you. Who else is that important? Let me give you a little myth. I wrote a blog some years ago about this, a little myth about customers, and that is all customers are not equal. And some people sort of balk at that and say, well, you know, every customer is important. Every customer is important, but some are more importanter than others are. I heard a story a guy told some years ago about his mom, his elderly mom. He says she was going to banks. And she had some, you know, had her life savings in there, and it was, you know, probably a nice little sum. But what she was doing, she would go every couple of months down and she would look around at banks and see who had the highest interest rate. And if she found somebody with the tiniest fraction of a higher interest rate, she would take her money out of that bank and she'd move it into another bank. And she was telling him this, and she was complaining that the customer service in these banks was terrible. They didn't deal with her very good. And her son, I guess in a kind way to his mom, he said, well, Mom, you're a terrible customer. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants a customer that's going to come in there and pull their stuff out and go to another bank every time there's a slight increase in interest rate somewhere else. Well, you know, you need to look at your customers that way, too. You probably have some customers that you would be just as well without if you've been in business a while. We have in our company, now I'm not going to name any names here, but we have in our company over the years, and it's rare, it hasn't happened very much, but we actually have fired customers before. That's right. We fired customers. We have decided not to do business. Now, we rarely call them up and say, hey, don't do business with us anymore. We just are busy when they call, and we just are pretty slow responding to them, and we give them no breaks on anything, and pretty much in a polite kind of way, without making them mad and without, as best we can, we sort of just disengage from them as best we can because for whatever reason, they just are not people we're making money. Now, when you're looking at your customers, you need to look at several things. You need to look at profitability. You know, the guy that you're selling $10 to and making 50 cents and you're selling a lot of that is probably not as valuable as the guy you're selling less to, you're selling $10 to and you're making $9 off of it. You would rather have a lot more of those $9 customers, wouldn't you? Well, you need to think about that. Also, some customers require an extraordinary amount of customer service time and leadership time to deal with. In other words, the cost of sales is very high. You have to call on them. There have been some industries. Our business deals a lot. In our business, electronic motor drive business, we deal a lot with industrial plants. Some plants just don't suit us. They require too much sales activity for the amount of business that we get out of them. And I didn't know this in the beginning, and I would spend an enormous amount of time chasing those guys, chasing them to get a pittance of business. And when I really began looking at that, what we were spending to get that little bit of business right there, it wasn't worth it. Now, again, markets are different. Your market may be entirely different than that. And if that's the case where, you know, you may be a company or in offering a product and service that, you know, you only need one or two customers. I'm not in that kind of business, but you may be. And if you are, perhaps it's worth chasing this one really large customer. You hear stories occasionally. You'll read these in some of the business magazines about somebody that really had a nice little product they were making, and they really wanted to get it out there, so they teamed up with somebody like, and I'm not picking a Walmart. I think Walmart's great, but they would begin selling, just an example, to Walmart. And because Walmart can literally, Walmart is such a behemoth, they can control their vendors. Well, Walmart pretty soon is running their business. And before you know it, Walmart is making demands on them, and Walmart has so much of their business, they can't afford to back out of Walmart, and that may be fine. If that's the kind of business you want to be in, that's fine. But those are the kind of decisions you should make when you look at. We're going to talk more after the break about this, but just be sure you go through, you look at your customers, and you figure out who they are. And you can do things, some of the things you can kind of rate them on is like, are they a credit problem? You know, we've had customers that, you know, would give us jobs, but then we could never get the money. And it just took a collection call after collection call after collection call after collection call to get paid. Well, that's a cost of sales. That's a real cost. If I'm having to carry $100,000 for somebody, and more particular, if I'm having to go to the bank and borrow that money to float it through, basically I'm giving them an interest-free loan. Well, you really can't afford to do that very long. You're listening to Driven to Business. By the way, we are a podcast on biz1190.com, and we're streamed live there on biz1190.com, podcast on eddiemayfield.com. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking about prospecting. You know, one of those things that if you ask any sales guy, one of his most unfavorite things to do is prospecting. And part of that's because we think of prospecting as making sales calls. I'm still surprised. I don't know why I am, but I'm surprised. At this day and age, we still, in our business, almost every week, somebody comes walking in there. And they, you know, they just talk to the receptionist and say, hey, we want to talk to whoever's in charge of your phone system. Well, they're not going to talk to anybody in charge. We're not going to do that. And neither are most. That's a very ineffective way of prospecting. Now, if you have no other ideas, I mean, no other ideas at all, hey, do what you got to do. But you can surely think of better ways to chase prospects down with that. Before the break, I was telling you that one of the things you should probably do is look at your existing customers. And I mean, look hard at them. Look at what makes them up. And in the first place, to reiterate something I said in the first segment, don't tell me or don't think that you sell to everybody. You don't. That's not the way it works. It's a myth. And a lot of entrepreneurs buy into this myth that the bigger the market, the bigger the opportunity you're going to have. Well, that's just not true. And the fact is, the bigger your market is, the greater the chance is that you're wasting your time chasing what you think are prospects but are not there. And you'll do a lot of wheel spinning. I am in a niche business, and I will admit readily, I don't know much about any other kind of business because that's all I've ever done in my life is being in a niche business. Now, the nice thing about being in a niche is that you can identify your prospects rather carefully. We're in electronic motor drive business, and I joke about this. I run some ads occasionally. People will say, you know, I don't even know what those are. And I say, well, then you're not a prospect. If you don't know what they are, you're not a prospect. We don't really care because we're in a niche business. The people that are our prospects do know what they are. And you may be in a business like that as well. I've got my son-in-law works for a company that specializes in selling insurance to long-haul truckers. Now, you know, the insurance, you could, there's a lot of ways to be in the insurance business. And you know that old deal, everybody needs insurance. Well, yeah, everybody does need insurance. But you know what? Not everybody is a long-haul trucker. And if you're selling long-haul trucker insurance, well, that also, that narrows it down. What it does is it allows you to focus and put your energies into a smaller segment. I would encourage you to segment your market as best you can. And one of the ways you can figure that out is by looking at who your customers are right now. The more you can refine that, the better you can describe that. Just grab your top 10 customers, whatever they are, and see what commonalities they have. Now, it may be they're all in the same industry, in which case that tells you something. But odds are they're not. Odds are there's other things. You may have to dig a little bit to figure this out, you and your team. But, you know, once you do that, once you figure out what identifies those people who are your best customers, and let me reiterate again, your best customer may not, in fact, be the guy that you're invoicing the most every year. You know, you may be making less money by invoicing more. You should look at things like that. You should look at profitability, actual profitability, and included in that are credit problems. If you got a guy that you're doing a lot of business with, but you can't get paid, really, you know, I always tell people, until we get paid, we haven't done anything. You know, we're not just doing this for fun. We have to get paid. You may have a customer that demands all of your time. They demand a much higher level of service than anybody else is demanding. Now, if you're making a ton of money off of them, you probably ought to be providing that service. They're basically, in a way, they're kind of paying you for that. But if you've got a guy that you're doing a fair amount of business with him, but he's constantly demanding services out of you, and he's constantly nickel and diming you on everything, and keep pushing on your price to get it down to where you are barely profitable, yet he still continues to demand that level of service, you should probably think about finding some more customers. Also, you can find customers that can have unreasonable terms. You know, we've had some large companies, especially, come back to us and say, "You will give this order, but our terms are 120 days." And most of the times, we'll say, "Well, no thanks. I can't carry 120 day terms." And sometimes they will just go away. Other times, they'll come back and say, "Okay." And you know, you never know what's going to happen. I'm reminded of a story. I heard a guy give a speech many years ago. He was an executive with Montgomery Ward, the old Montgomery Ward, which some of you will remember. When he was a young executive, Montgomery Ward sold a wood stove that this elderly couple put in their house. And there was some kind of an issue with the stove. The stove caught on fire and did a lot of damage in their house. And they were all avoiding going out there and talking to this couple because they kept thinking, you know, there's no telling what they're going to ask us for, damages and so forth. And they wouldn't go. And this guy was just coming aboard. So it was like, "Hey, we'll wait and let him go, you know, the new guy." So he said, "Really, I didn't know any better. So I just went out there and sat down with him and said," he said, "I just asked a simple question. Okay, I'm real sorry that happened. What do you want?" And they said, "Well, if you could just replace the carpet that got smoked downstairs, that's all we really want." And, you know, they were expecting to have to spend, you know, $1 million to satisfy this guy. They just wanted a couple thousand dollars worth of carpet put in. The guy said, "Done." So he goes back and gets it done. Again, you know, you need to know what your customers expect out of you. Ask, and sometimes you can ask them. But you can ask yourself, who are these customers? What makes these people who they are? And then next question is, where do I go find more like that? And, you know, you might, another question you might ask is, who is most likely to buy my product or service? You know, who's going to appreciate the value? You know, if you're the 1 hour cleaner, if you're really, really, really giving quick turnaround on cleaning or on whatever you do, who appreciates that? You know, if you're trying to sell to somebody that doesn't give a rip about that, well, then you're wasting your time. But if you can find people that actually, what you want to find, if that's your deal, then you need to find people to whom that matters, and to who that is. You know, again, looking at these top 10 customers, immediately obvious to you because they may not all be in the same industry, but you may find out try to identify why they buy from you. That might help you right there. Why, we mentioned this earlier. Why do they buy from you and not Brand X over here? Why are they buying from you? Is it turnaround time? Is it some facet of the service you provide or something like that? And not only once you find that out, not only do you now know that, you sort of know what your primary selling proposition ought to be to them. If that's what you're going to do, and you're going to look for more people like them, well, you know that's what's important to them. You know, the other thing you can do, your current customers. Upsell, it's much easier to upsell current customers sometimes than to go out and find new customers. And let me tell you something else. Back to this identifying the same kind of customers. It is much, much, much easier to sell into the same group. I'm not necessarily meaning your existing customers, but to sell to other people just like them, since you already know how to do that and you've already established a brand with those kinds, with that demographic, whatever that is. Once you've done that, you can. It's just an easier. You have a much higher chance of success than you do grabbing a whole different market that you know nothing about, and you're going to have a pretty steep learning curve on getting that done. You know, for most of us, getting repeat sales from current customers is essential. And a lot of us can sort of grow in that. And, you know, the whole idea, instead of finding a new customer, if you can get, you know, 50% more sales out of your existing customers, think about that. That's 50% more business you've got, and you already have the relationships. So that's a great way to do it. So in the idea of prospecting, first, look at home. Whether you're planning on bringing in new customers and new prospects, look at who you already have and use that group to identify who you should be going after. And don't forget that even in your existing customer pool, perhaps you're selling them one product they use, and you actually provide two products, and they're not using the second product, but they are a prospect for that. Well, maybe you can put a little effort into that and see if that won't work for you in pulling up. That is a lot easier than going out and finding an entire different customer base. And not only that, just the exercise of doing that is a very healthy exercise, because it not only tells you what you're doing right, it will probably point out what you're doing wrong in some cases. And it's important that we all know that as we try to grow our businesses. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. More to come. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking today about prospecting, not only the need to do it, but some tips perhaps in how you should do it. By the way, as I often like to remind people, we are streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So check us out there. You know, if you're like most entrepreneurs, time is one of your more valuable assets. And any account or any activity you do that requires a lot of your time needs to be worth, you need to have a return on that. And that includes prospecting, and it includes even customer service with existing accounts. If you have an account that's requiring constant handholding and you are not doing much business with them, I just want to reiterate this, or perhaps losing money there by an opportunity cost. You're spending time on them. You're not making money you should be making otherwise. You know, in our company, we have faced this dilemma a couple of times when we will decide to raise our field service rates. We do a lot of field service around the country, and our rates are competitive, and we make sure we're always, you know, right in the middle rate-wise, but occasionally we'll raise rates. And we always, within the company, get a bit of a angst about this, because we'll say, well, if we raise our rates, we're going to lose a couple of customers. Well, we usually do. But you know what? The revenues rarely go down. And so, again, you can't go crazy with that. You shouldn't just willy-nilly raise your rates and get out of the market. You need to be fair and in the market and doing what you do, and pay what the market rate, and you know, charge what the market rate is for whatever it is that you do. But as long as you're at the market rate, you can justify that. You can say, you know, this is just what this kind of service costs. And fortunately, I'm in a business where people will pay pretty good rates for what we do, electronic motor drives, and particularly large horsepowers in industrial plants that we do. So we get to do that. You know, if you take your customers and you sort of, again, you take your top 10 customers, or take all your customers for that matter, and you sort of categorize them, you're going to have a few of them. You're going to, you know, whether you use 1s, 2s, and 3s, or A, B's, and C's, or whatever you do, you're going to have some customers that are absolutely your top people. They're the ones you make all the money with. They're going to give you trouble. They pay on time. You just love them to death. You wish you had 100 more like them. But those are your real top-notch A customers. And they're the easiest people you got to deal with. Well, you obviously want to find more of those. So when you're looking to go find prospects, go find those guys. Don't go to the lower end of the scale, people that you barely make any money on, who take all your time up, who gripe at you constantly, this kind of thing. You can get rid of them. You know, one of the things I found interesting about eBay online, and I've been buying off eBay a long time, you know, eBay is sort of is the ultimate self-regulating selling machine. If you, and most of you probably have used eBay, and you know that if you are a seller on eBay and you don't have a high seller rating, which is given to you by the people that buy, if you don't have a high seller rating, well, you can hang it up. You know, if I'm going on there to buy, particularly if it's something expensive, and if I'm going to buy, you know, a $2 item, fine. But if I'm going on there to spend buy a guitar or something like that and spend some money for it, and that guy's not top rated, well, I'm not about to do that because I'm not going to buy something expensive from a guy that I can't trust. But you know what else they do is very interesting. The buyers are rated. Do you know that? On eBay, buyers are rated. And buyers that constantly gripe and complain, like, you know, hey, everybody else is rating this guy 100%. Everything came right on time. And this guy says, well, it wasn't packaged right. And everybody else says, got the exact same item, says, well, it was packaged fine. Well, sooner or later, you start getting downgraded, and you know what's going to happen? You go in there to buy something. The guy says, I'm not going to sell to you because I don't want to deal with you. A whiner like you, that's whining about what's going on. Well, you can't quite do that in your business, probably, but you can. You can do that. You know, one of the things that might help you in sort of thinking about your customers and what you sell them is something we've done a number of times. We've come up with a table or a matrix. And what we do, I'm looking at it right now, trying to describe it to you here on the radio. But we will across the top, we will write down the various services and products that we provide. And then down the side of it, we will sort of come up with what customers. In our case, it's industrial or HVAC or resellers or original equipment manufacturers or drive manufacturers or people like that. And we've got several others. Those are our broad customer care categories that we have. And we sort of make a little matrix and put an X mark if I do industrial plant, if we sell field service, shop service, new equipment, projects, and training, if those are our services, I'll put a little X out there. So I've got a little graph, a little table now, and you can go through that. And what you'll find out is you'll have some customers that you do, you've got a chance to sell a lot of things to, and you also can look at and see what's my most profitable service or product that I sell. I can sell all of those to these three customers. These other guys down here, I can only sell them these two things. And then if you further determine that, you know, they're taking a lot of my time, and I'm basically making no money off that, well, then that's when you determine that perhaps you're not going to push that side of the business anymore. And when you're looking for new prospects, you don't go look for those guys. And here's the sad thing about that. Those are usually the easiest guys to find, just my our experience has been. The easiest prospects to go find are the ones that you probably want the least. So discipline yourself and don't do that. We had to, at our company a number of years ago, we had to make some major, major changes in how we were doing business with a whole segment of our business, which at that time was the largest billing segment of our business. In fact, it was a huge part of our business, and we had to really do a gut check and sort of grab up. But what we decided from making a matrix just like that and looking at it, we decided we were not making enough money off of that category of customer for the time and energy it took to maintain those customers. And they were easy to find. There were a lot of them around. They were easy to find, which is how we ended up with so many of them. And so we didn't tell them to get lost. We didn't fire them. We didn't run them all off. We just stopped emphasizing that part of our business, and we quit chasing it. We started chasing more profitable business. You can do the exact same thing. Now, once you start doing that, how do you find these guys? How do you find them? Well, that's going to depend a lot on your industry, but in today's world, you cannot escape using online resources. You should take advantage of that. And again, it depends on what kind of business you're in, but if you're in a business that has some sort of expertise to it or something like that, one very easy thing to do is start putting blogs up. If you know how to do that, you can go just go Google how to write blogs or how to post blogs and get started. It's not that hard to do. And just start putting them up and putting up information that is of value to your, no, make a value proposition here. Put up things that are of value to the people that might be using you, and let them know that's there. And every email you send to them in every sales situation, send them those links. And you don't send it to them like, hey, go look at what kind of products and services we sell. That's not the point. What you say is, hey, you know, I know you may be having a problem with whatever is germane to your industry. You can say, you know, we've got a little 10 easy steps to check that out, kind of a blog. Go look at it. And you know what we found is that those things tend to get circulated. They tend to get circulated around, and we'll go somewhere. Back in the year, before internet days, I used to publish a little newsletter, and I, for whatever reason, and I don't remember even consciously choosing this, but it ended up on a sort of a pink paper. I don't know what that says about me, but it ended up on pink paper. And for a long time, I would call and visit somebody, and they would say, oh, you're the guy with the pink newsletter, because we had one of the widely circulated newsletters in our industry, and it would put it out every month. Well, again, you pick up business off things like that. People begin to know you. It's a way of branding you, and you're offering them some value. You can't, can you sell in there? Sure, you can sell a little bit, but you know what? You need to balance that selling out a great deal with a lot of things like that. Another thing, a lot of you that may work for some of you is trade shows. We're having renewed interest in some trade shows. We do some very, very, very specific trade shows, like in our business, some waste, some water treatment trade shows and things of that sort. I don't go to too many straight industrial automation shows anymore, but we do that. We do a lot of webinars. We began doing this a few years ago. Webinars, and again, if you don't know how to do that, just go Google how to do a webinar. You can figure it out for yourself in 10 minutes. It's not that hard to do. But, you know, the beauty of a webinar is you can be talking to somebody in San Francisco or somewhere in their office. They can gather three or four people around their computer, and you can be doing a webinar for them. Again, here's a trick with that webinar. This can't be a sales pitch. Nobody's going to come around their computer to watch you do a sales pitch. Well, it's got to be something that's interesting and informative to them. So in your industry, whatever that amounts to be, to tell them how to do this, how to do that, you know, some problem they're having or some issue they're facing that you, in your expertise, know how to do, well, then you need to make a webinar out of that and invite them in to do it. We also do full-fledged seminars where we actually go out and teach people. Those can be something as simple as a lunch and learn. We actually have a number of those we actually charge people to come to. And we give them really hands-on, some troubleshooting things we do. We give them hands-on expertise and benefit there. We've also picked up some very large customers from that. I've already mentioned blogs. Blogs are probably, at least in our business, probably we get more hits on our blogs and our website than we do anything else. Now, again, I'm a very, very, very targeted niche business. You should target yours as close as you can as well. But in the electronic motor drive business, if you Google the kind of words that we service and that we do, you will find we're often on the top of the Google organic searches. In fact, there's a few things. I'm the entire front page of Google on there. And by doing that and coupling that with some pay-per-click and things of that sort, you can garner a lot of interest in, and we end up with a lot of business out of that very thing. Twitter is a, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, you should get on Twitter and tweet all the time, and I haven't had a great deal of luck with that, although I know people that have. I think some of that depends on the business you're in. But you know what else you can do on Twitter? In fact, we did it just this morning. You can go on Twitter, and at the top of your Twitter page, there's a search function. You can go up there and search for any kind of a phrase or anything or that applies to your business. Whatever that may be, you go up there and apply to that. And what it will do is pull up all the conversations that are taking place about that particular phrase or whatever it is that you're doing there. And you can, a lot of them will have nothing to do with you. A lot of them will not be germane to you at all, but some of them will. We uncovered a very nice prospect this morning on a pretty good sized project just from looking on Twitter. And by doing that, we're now able to make contact. Now, what do you do once you make a contact like that? You don't just haul off and hit them with a sales pitch. No, you got to sort of, it's a value proposition. You got to go on and say, hey, I see you're having trouble with this. Have you looked at this? And it may not even be on our website, but you make yourself valuable to them. Begin building a relationship. One more segment to go. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Hope you've enjoyed today's program. We've been talking about the idea of who your customers are, really who they are. And the reason we want to know that is not only so you can serve them and do a better job for them and meet their needs, but that so you can find more of them. In fact, we have taken most of the program today and talked about the idea of prospect. Let me tell you something that you need to know. If you don't already know this, you haven't done it. If you have been in sales very long or tried to sell anything, you already know this. Prospecting is hard work. It's extremely hard work. You know, it's that old saying about, you know, sales is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. It's true. There's a great quote by the famed golfer Gary Player that said somehow the harder I work, the luckier I seem to get. Or the more I practice, the luckier I seem to get. That's just life. That's true in life. And prospecting is hard work. But, you know, just going out and mindlessly attacking the field without thinking of what you're doing, it's hard work, all right. But it may be hard work spinning your wheels. Give it some thought. And to review a little bit, one of the things that we suggest that you do is go to your existing customers and ask, why do they buy from you? Why do they buy from me? And then once you figure that out, well, that's sort of your value proposition right there. Okay, why do they buy from me? And what's a commonality of these customers? You know, is there a certain age group or something? I heard the CEO of Dollar General talking on a business program the other day. And over again, when he was referring to his shoppers, he kept saying, she does this and she does that. And finally, somebody in the program said, you keep saying she, and he said, it's because we know full well our best customer and our most common customer is a female. Well, that's something you ought to know. If that's true, that, you know, in today's age, say, oh, you can't say that. Well, heck, you better say it. You need to know who your clients are. If you're selling, some kind of fantasy football software, you need to know who's going to be interested in that and who's not going to be interested. If you're selling, something only grandmothers are going to be interested in it. Well, your prospects are grandmothers. Your prospect is not 19-year-old girls. So you need to know those kinds of things and figure them out. What's common about your customers? What are you going to do with them? The second thing that I want to reiterate again to everyone is that the smaller and the more focused you can make your target, the more successful you're going to be. And let me tell you something else. You're going to be a lot more energized and a lot more happy in doing that, because, you know, when we go out, it's kind of like, think of it this way, when you come home and your house is dirty, and, you know, you look at the house, and you go, oh, man, it's just like, this is overwhelming. I can't clean this house. But if you come home and they say, okay, you know, today I'm going to clean just the den or the kitchen or whatever, I'm going to do that. You can get yourself a lot more energized in that. You know why? Because it's a manageable task. You can see a beginning, you can see an end, and you can see progress when you get done. Well, prospecting and marketing is the exact same thing. You want to give yourself these little psychological rewards of seeing progress being made. And one way to do that is to segment it down and work in a smaller segment so you can focus on it. Focus and work much harder. So to identify your best prospects. Let me reiterate to you again, when you're looking at your customers, all customers are not equal. That's a great myth of business, the idea that customers are equal. You know, you can only, some people sort of balk at this, but you can only provide customer service that is at a level that your profits allow you to provide. You know, you cannot... You can't provide customer service beyond which the customer is paying for it. I know that's going to rub some people the wrong way, but when you back up and look at it at 10,000 feet, that's the way it is, because all of your money in business comes from your customers. It doesn't come from anywhere else. So anything you're doing for them, they in fact are paying for. If you're dealing in a customer situation where you've got your margins down so low, and you're and it's taking so much time in customer service to the point that you're having to deal with them all the time. You don't have time to chase new business. You don't have time to develop new products. You don't have time to do other things you ought to be doing in running the business. Well, what's going to happen is that you're just not going to be able to grow. In fact, you're not going to survive in that situation at some point. A number of years ago, there was a company here in town, actually headquartered here in town, called Webvan. My wife and I use them. Webvan was awesome. You could go online. This was back when, and this was the early days of internet. You can go online. You could order groceries. Webvan would show up at your house in these really nice trucks. They had uniforms on. They would bring groceries in, and they would put them in your pantry. And I mean, it was just fabulous service. Really good food, fabulous service, and it cost pretty much no more than it cost to go down to Kroger and get it yourself. Well, man, it was awesome. We used them quite a few times. Could not have been happier with them, but they went out of business. You know why? It turns out you can't really do that at the same price Kroger can provide those groceries in the store. They would have been better off saying, look, this is a premium service here. We're offering a premium service, and we're going to charge a premium for it. It would probably have lowered their initial billings. And I know what they were trying to do was build a market and then raise the prices. That's always a gamble. That didn't work that way. But it's a great example of trying to deliver a service that nobody is paying for. People have got to pay for the service. So when you're looking at your customer, look at that. And when you can start chasing prospects, chase prospects you actually are going to want to have in business. We talked very briefly of the idea of using a Twitter. You know, there's also Twitter's a great one to use. You know, a lot of people in our company as well use LinkedIn for chasing down accounts. You know, one of the things about LinkedIn, we've had Rebecca Z on here talk to us about that. If you're going to be in LinkedIn and join groups and things of that sort, I've a number of my friends are quite successful in doing this. And our company's had a fair amount of success in doing this as well. You've got to get into those groups. You've got to get into those discussion groups, and you've got to provide relevant help, information, and data to people in there so that they come to depend on you and feel like you are somebody that's an expert in that field. At that point, they will begin using you. You can't just go in there and basically do a mouth off with an advertisement. Most of the time, that's not going to work because most of us are not in those kinds of, in a market that's that expanding. Now, maybe you are, but we're not. And so we have to be more careful about how we get it done. I talked briefly about and we'll go back to this thing about trade shows and webinars and lunch and learns and things of that sort. Those are great selling tools, and you can adapt this to your business, whatever it is, however this works for you. And you know, it may be that in your business you're talking about a 10-minute presentation to somebody instead of a 2-hour again, it's your business and your industry and whatever you're doing there. But information you can give people when you're in there talking to a prospect and you're trying to find prospects. You know, one of the things that you can do is give them information that is useful to them, even if it doesn't directly benefit you. And you know, that's the whole point of building relationships anyway. You know, relationships, if you go into any kind of relationship, and this includes a business relationship, where the driving force is what is in it for me, that's not going to go anywhere. When you go in to help a customer, even if it doesn't directly benefit your business right there, if you will help that guy out, if you can, if you have information for him, and perhaps you leave there, you know, he was telling you about a problem he had, and it has nothing to do with you, and you can't do anything about it. You know what will really serve you well? Go home and see if you can help resolve that problem, and then email or call the guy back and say, you know, I was looking at this, because what that tells him is that you care about the conversation you had with him, and now you're offering him back something of value. That and you know, while it may not pay off for you in that particular instance, it will pay off for you in the long term. The other thing I'm going to caution you about, back to this, don't think that you can sell to just anybody. In general, higher volume things are lower profit per unit. The higher the volume of units that you're selling, whether that's service units you're selling or products, the higher the volume, the lower the profit's going to be. The lower the volume, the higher the profit. So you sort of need to position yourself and brand yourself in the area that you need to be in. And when you're chasing prospects, chase down prospects that fit within that area. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. By the way, today's program will be podcast on the eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. We're here every week. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.